Hello, my friends, Andy and Hedia, coming live from Yorba Linda, California, for the Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel around the world. Whether you're a new believer or a seasoned saint, we hope we have content that is useful to you in your walk with Christ, whether it's past videos or new preachers you may never have heard of, or worship bands, books to peruse, Bible resources, check out the website. Hopefully we have something that is beneficial to you. And we love to hear from you. Drop us a line, send us a comment, whether it's a prayer request or praying for us, or simply a question. We love to hear from you. And if this ministry blesses you in any way, you can click the donate now and partner with us. That would be a great blessing. We would appreciate it.
Right there, resurrectministry.com. Also, make sure during our show you're commenting. Let us know what you think about the devotional, or what you think about what we are saying about the devotional, and what God has given us to speak to you about. And then if you have a prayer request, make sure and put that in the comments also. Again, if you're watching live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, X, or Rumble, I don't think X and Rumble we can see your comments, but everybody else, we can see your comments. Just let us know what you need prayer for, and towards the end of the show, we will give out a prayer. Check out our sponsors. We got LifeWise. Go to livelifewise.tv to see some of the great supplements that they have there for you for inflammation, which is by far, I think, the favorite of mine. If I forget it for a couple of days, my leg gets all inflamed and gets very painful. But it works amazing. So try LifeWise products at livelifewise.tv. And if you want to broadcast your own devotional or another hobby you might have, go to getstreamyardnow.com and you will be able to broadcast out to your audience and your peeps. In your Bibles, go to Acts 20, 24 through 30. Acts 20, 24 through 30. Hedia will be reading those verses a little bit later on in the show. In A.W. Tozier's devotional, Tozier for the Christian Leader, it references Acts 20, 24. Today's March 21, and the title is A New Type of Preacher.
It's the first day of spring and the Persian New Year.
Wait, what?
Yeah, March 21.
Why has nobody told me this? Huh. I would have had a whole thing to talk about. I didn't know that. Acts 20, 24 says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God." A.W. says, "If Christianity is to receive a rejuvenation, it must be by other means than any now being used. If the Christian church in the second half of this century is to recover from the injuries she suffered in the first half, there must appear a new type of preacher. Another kind of religious leader must arise among us. He must be the old prophet type, a man who has seen visions of God and has heard a voice from the throne. When he comes, and I pray God there will be not one but many, he will stand in flat contradiction to everything our smirking, smooth civilization holds dear. He will contradict, denounce, and protest in the name of God, and will earn the hatred and opposition of a large segment of Christendom. Such a man is likely to be lean, rugged, blunt-spoken, and a little bit angry with the world. He will love Christ and the souls of men to the point of willingness to die for the glory of the one and the salvation of the other. But he will not fear, but he will fear nothing that breathes with mortal breath.
Send to your church today, O Lord, many who have seen visions of God and heard a voice from the throne.
Amen. You're writing feverishly over there. What do you...
Well, a thought of it occurred to me on the second time around, the old type of preacher. And I heard this great sermon about Jeremiah 38. And it's an obscure passage of scripture for Jeremiah, because a lot of Jeremiah is talked about often. But it's the part of the story where, so Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. Nobody liked him. They hated him. He was like, repent, repent. The you know, God's wrath is coming. And everyone's like, you know what? You're super annoying. You need to stop talking. And so they decided to throw him in a cistern. So the cisterns were like giant jugs where they kept water. Mm-hmm. But because they were going through a drought, there was no water. It was just mud. So they threw him in this thing that was filled with mud. And the sermon was about, like, he's probably thinking to himself, I am doing the work of God and I'm in a cistern right now. Like, how did this happen to me? And it just reminds me that what Tozer's saying is the old type of preacher is sackcloth and ashes. It's I'm willing to die for the gospel or suffer innumerable amount of damage. Like, take, for example, even in comparison to what Pastor Jack's going now, I mean, he's being vilified in the news as if he was like David Koresh, you know, it's just absolutely horrible. And yet he takes it with a smile on his face because he's like, oh, I must be doing something right. But in this day and age, if you're going to stand up for the gospel in any kind of powerful way, if you're a rugged man, you know, committed to the cross, reminds me of Driscoll, that description, you're going to suffer. And I don't know how many people are willing to do that. And it's funny, he said this, you know, 60 years ago now, 70 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that this devotional is today. And right when I read it, I got a text from my daughter, one of my three daughters, that my fight with the school district, not the school district, the teachers union, has affected her. And
the Courtney?
No, Ray. Oh.
How so?
Well, they're talking about my, you know, I want to keep this short because okay. I know it's if I go too long. So this has been going on for a long time where I have been arguing in school board meetings and speaking out and going to rallies and whatnot, I've had a show, an entire show that dedicates to the things that are going on in the school district. But suddenly I told you on my birthday, one of my presents was that the school union said the teachers union was, I don't know why I keep saying school union, the teachers union said they're coming after me. Well, they've now, what that means is they've gone to the point where it's affecting my daughter, that they've used people to send her videos and to tell her that I'm a horrible person and
like
all these kinds of things.
Kids or teachers?
Apparently, because I tried to explain to Ray. Let me just read the message I got just as we were reading the devotional was that, but you don't realize how irritating this is. It's so embarrassing. And the fact that you're not caring about it affecting us kids is weird. I'm just frustrated because it doesn't only make you look bad, but us too. I think you should change your approach.
Makes us look bad. What's your approach?
Calling them out that what they're saying is lies about the 17 principals being fired. That's not happening. That hundreds of teachers are being fired. That is also not happening.
But she brings up a good point that, yes. We often, I don't think it's just us, but any family who is outspoken is not really calculating the cost on the family.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure Sonia's kids and Leandra's kids we know have suffered.
Yes. And they're getting another round of attacks. It's happening to the other kids or to the children of the people in the fight.
Sure.
All at the same time. And it's been pretty bad for Leandra's son.
Repeatedly.
Beth Frazier's, who's a principal of Bernardo Yorba, her children are 6 and 8 years old. And they said they're going after her children too. But this isn't even back when we were talking about all the LGBTQ stuff.
Which is so weird.
That's not even when I was praying at the school board meeting.
Right?
Like that. And so that's how this comes together, because they look at me as a Christian nationalist. That's what I've been called. I've been personally called a whole bunch of names.
Yes, you have. The king of the douchebags.
King of the douchebags, which is, you know, maybe not that far from the truth, but this has been going on for a very long time. But it's strange. I mean,
why is it flaring up so crazy? Right,
because now we're having success. The more success you have, the more they find ways to say nonsense. Like, they have to come after you. They cause chaos and then say, do you see what these people are doing? They're causing all this chaos. And we're going, we're not doing anything. We have two new schools being built within the district. We have the charter school coming in. We got new attendance records that have never been, not attendance, enrollment records, more than ever before. Not one single teacher is being fired, but yet it's the teachers union who's coming after us. And so
terrible.
It's so funny that this comes on this at the same moment as that text. But yes, I tried to explain to her that they're mad because we're having success. And that's when she sent me that response. That was her response to my, listen, I want you to know that we are being very successful. Things are going really well in the school district. And it's only like maybe 10 or 15 people, but where it says he will stand in flat contradiction to everything our smirking, smooth civilization holds dear. He will contradict, denounce, and protest in the name of God, and will earn the hatred and opposition of a large segment of Christendom. So I know the folks that I'm arguing against, which are about five or six women that are, I don't even think they have kids in the district, but they're surely representatives of the teachers union. I have pictures of them in their social media, the people that have come after me. I know they're not Christians, though. I know that this devotional speaks more towards.
Do you know Pastor Jeff?
Well, I don't know. That's true.
There's a lot of people called Christians up here.
Because I don't mind getting the ire of, the demonic.
Right.
I mean, that's going to happen.
Well, this also takes me to the other point I was going to talk about is the other podcast I heard about, Urban Apologetics, which was also brilliant. The Perrys were interviewing Dr. Eric Mason, who has a new book called Urban Apologetics. And he was saying that this is part of the purification of the church, that the Lord is sifting the wheat from the tares. There's the great falling away. There's the remnant that is left. So a lot of Christendom has to leave Christendom. So God will use these kinds of situations to get people to be like, I'm done. That's it. They're all the Christians are nationalists. They're like clan members. We're going backwards. I want nothing to do with it. This is the way the Lord, and he used the great example of John 15:3, the pruning. And he says, you will bear much fruit, but you will be pruned in the process. So he's basically putting his prophets and his anointed through pruning. Mm. And in that pruning, he's cutting away dead branches. Mm. So it is, even in our own community, we will see people falling away because they're afraid of the conflict and the truth.
Yeah.
And want nothing to do with it.
This is the dilemma, because this is why they do it.
Yes,
because
they want to make families back down.
Yep, and seeing if they try hard enough and start at the children, will the parents cave? Sonia Shaw hasn't.
She's Madison.
Madison hasn't. Leandra. Sean and Todd don't quite get it as much.
I wonder why. Not as outspoken.
Well, they do go after Sean. I'll take that back. Lately, they've been going after him too. But I don't think his kids.
Okay.
But that is the, yeah, that is the, that's the dilemma. Is I mean, there's probably some things I could do somewhat differently, but you can't not speak the truth. I mean, that really is the problem, is that when they want to say all these things are happening and you say, no, here they're not, and here's the proof, Then they go, okay, then we're going after your kids. I mean, that's the, they go, what am I supposed to do with that? And then how do I help Ray understand? Listen, it's, I cannot give in to.
They know you well enough to know that.
Yeah. There was a description that I was thinking that he said, what is he? These guys are, such a man is likely to be lean. I've been working.
For sure.
I've been working on my leanness.
Rugged.
I'm sometimes rugged. Blunt spoken. Oops. Got me there. And a little bit angry.
Funny, I didn't think of you. I thought of Driscoll, but yes, the yeah, description.
I think of Driscoll too, for sure. But
because you have to be tough skinned.
Yeah, you have to be. You have to be a little tough skinned. So yeah, they.
Can we say hi to our friends?
Yeah, they just want to make it difficult.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Iris. And Kelly says, how terrible that they would bring the kids in on it. Yeah, people have no shame.
You know what's interesting is that these are the same.
And hi, Maria.
These
Shalom.
Are the same women that get up there and say, you know, say how they'll scream about nonsense about, we care about the kids. You know, we love the kids. And then.
Except your kids.
Yeah. And then they fight for pornography in the libraries. Like you go and read the book, they go, how dare you're book burning. You're burning books. You're censoring books. I go, no, we just don't want pornography in the children's school.
Exactly. You're burning books.
You can have books.
What's wrong with the pornography books?
They can have them in their house. We're not burning it here. We're not going to burn it here. Take it and take it in your house.
And then when you try to read it at the meeting, they're like, ew, don't say that. That's yeah, vile.
You can't read that. That's terrible. But you want it in the children in the elementary school libraries.
Makes no sense.
But then they go after your kids if you don't knock it off. It really is.
Brian Potter, I appreciate you guys. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. So strange. What's the scripture say?
Well, this is Paul in a similar situation as he's ending towards his ministry, going to Jerusalem, expecting. That chains and tribulation await him and possibly death. He tells the Ephesian elders, this is his parting message to them, that none of these things, all the trials he's been through, move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I've been preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourself, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So I am innocent of the blood of all men because, why? I've declared the whole counsel of God. So not shying away from the tough conversations and the things that we must do on behalf of the gospel. So it's a tough fight. And it's been going on since the beginning of Jesus's ministry.
Yeah.
You know, so I just expect that it's only going to get worse.
Yes.
As the persecution increases. Remember that if they hate you, they hated me first.
Truth. There's some truth right there, Smith.
Yeah. Bible.
I haven't watched Pastor Jack's Sunday service yet. I started to watch some of it, and then I think we got busy doing some other stuff, and I don't want to see it.
Yeah, but Center Israel.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's very good.
But I understand he's transitioning out for a couple weeks.
For Pastor Jack?
Yeah, to talk about what's happening in the world again.
Oh, out of Romans. I thought you meant leaving the church.
No.
No, he's doing Israel.
Oh, okay.
The significance of Israel.
Looking forward to that. You know, I emailed Peggy, his assistant.
His
time for another interview. It's not Peggy?
No.
What's her name? What's her name?
I can't remember right now, but it's not Peggy.
Okay, we could have just said it was Peggy.
Okay. Okay. Some people watching may know.
What's her name?
Nice.
Is that Peggy?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Maybe I emailed the wrong Peggy.
Uh-oh.
Pastor Driscoll's. Robin. Thank you,
Robin.
Kelly.
Yes.
That's there you go. Where did I get Peggy from, do you think?
I don't know.
I have a cousin named Peggy. Robin. Thank you, Kelly. Yes, I emailed Robin. I told her it's time for another interview.
Awesome.
Because I want you and him to talk about what's happening in Chino Valley. With
Sonia and the Palestinians. Sonia and the Palestinians.
That sounds like a book.
Right?
Sonia and the Palestinians. Dun, dun, dun. So what's happening? And Pastor Jack needed some assistance on that. And I think that that's a good topic about that. It's coming from now different factions.
It's
really crazy, right? It's a really crazy time. Like if it was just LGBTQ.
Homosexuals defending Hamas. Like,
that's my point.
What universe are we in that homosexuals are defending Hamas? Like, it's completely insane.
But why the school? Why are the schools seem to be the epicenter? It's the most bizarre way. It's CRTDI.
The same reason why they took our schools to begin with. Because that's the next generation. Yeah. Every good revolution starts with the children.
Fighting so hard for that ground. I mean, this really is a battle, and I want to honor my children, of course, and Ray in particular. She's a particularly sensitive to this thing. I mean, girls are they want to be accepted, and they don't want people calling their dad a creep and an a-hole and all the other names that they're calling me. But that's my dad. But your dad's, and I'm sure there's some of the kids that walked out of school yesterday because of they were told a lie.
Oh, so that's why this is flared up, because they had a walkout.
Yeah.
Oh,
they were told the lie that hundreds of people are being fired from the district. Not true. I'm just telling you, that's not happening.
Right.
I think it's all that your dad is the cause of this.
But that made room for your mom.
That's what I tried to tell her mom, because her mom came after me too. And so I said, you would not be able to work at the school district.
Right.
If they're having all the firings that these other school districts are having. So that's obvious, right? You got a job
right
in the school business, which right now is a bonfire
right
of burning down schools. Lakewood, I think it is, in the LA Unified School District, they're closing down. They're closing down 5 schools. They're not just firing hundreds of teachers. San Diego's firing 400 teachers in the San Diego Unified School District. 400.
So maybe that's where some of the ignorance comes from. They think those statistics are replicated in our jurisdiction.
I think it's easy to fool people, say, look at this, what's happening. So it's also happening here. But that's the great thing, is that we are doing so well that it's the only place in the surrounding school districts that's not firing teachers. And we're adding 2 schools.
Maybe we can get, why don't you ask to get Chernus an interview with Jack on this podcast?
Oh, I can do that. Jernis has been waiting to get an interview with me because he wants to wait until some of these things kind of calm down. And I told him, I'm not sure it's going to calm down. I think we need to do the interview anyway. That's a really good idea. I think that really is a good idea.
Get him a wider platform.
Yeah, for sure. He just got interviewed in the Orange County Register, and it's a very positive story for PYLUSD. It tells the stats. Nobody's getting fired. Yeah, it's the only one of the school districts that's not.
Somebody's could put it in print for it.
Yeah, finally.
Great.
All right. What else we got there?
Brian says, one of my recent memory verses. Which verse? Is it the scripture from Acts?
Probably.
Yeah, I run my race.
What's Maria saying about Driscoll?
Oh, yeah. Pastor Mark Driscoll does not hold back for no one. Love his warrior spirit for Christ. Yes. Hmm. I had a very funny interaction with a nurse the other day who had some choice words for me, and I responded with, I'm really sorry, but I have a tendency to intimidate people, and I'm very, very sorry. I think I've made you uncomfortable. She's like, no, that's not true. And I'm like, no, really, it's okay. I have a tendency to do that sometimes, and I apologize. I don't mean to do it. It's just kind of,
It's kind of who I am. So sometimes our warrior spirits come out in the grocery store or at the doctor's office. Can't help it.
And our children.
On our children, but they usually deserve it.
That's true. Just to kind of change gears.
Yes, of course. We've done that. Been there, done that.
I think we've. Oh, one more with Brian.
John, 15, yeah. 18, 20. If the world hates you, know that it has hated. You know that it has hated. World would love. Oh, but I choose you out of the world because this world hates you. Yeah. I think there's some words missing there. But yes, now I know what you're referring to.
It's okay.
Great.
Yeah, I was actually looking for that the other day to send to somebody else that was giving me a hard time.
We're in that in East Anaheim in our community group.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Yes. So I was on my call with my business accelerator group.
Oh. Okay.
Which includes, I hope it's okay to say, includes two people that are helping you with it.
Yes.
Okay. They are book publishers. So they're in my mine and Everett's business accelerator group. And they are
over promise, under deliver, under deliver.
Under promise, over deliver.
Over deliver. And did you tell them they tricked me?
No, I just said, I go, I love that. I told them I was smiling that you were pleased so far with what's been going on. And it's been going very well. But the reason I'm bringing that up is that they're very excited about your book.
Oh, really?
Very excited about your book and about how it's turning out and, you know, in the outline form, at least at this point. And
oh, nice.
And I think all of you will be so excited to get your hands on Hedia's book once it gets
that's so published. Sweet. So I hope so.
We'll be keeping you up to date and let you know about a launch date and all that kind of stuff. But I got to tell you that the publishers they've published lots of books for people, a lot of professionals, a lot of Christian books, nice. But they really seem to be really excited about your book. So for them to be excited, I think that's that's a really big deal.
Yeah. I'm excited.
So how did you think that the outline that was presented to you came out?
I mean, all glory to the King. Mm. First of all, let's just get that out there because I have no words other than the words he gives me. But they created an outline based on what I did was I handed them hundreds of pages of articles I've written for the past 2.5 years, a movie script I've written, journal entries, text for the website. I threw all of this content at them and I was like, these are my topics. This is my roadmap. This is where I want to go. Living Fearless for the Kingdom. These are the five kingdom areas I want to cover. I know the content is there. Turn this into that content. Mm. And the editor did it. She basically went through all of that content and put it. So I was like, my words.
Yeah.
Our words, Jesus. Jesus's words that he gave me. I was like, oh my goodness, it's all there.
They were talking to the other publishers about how your project was put together. And Everett, the other publisher, a friend of mine.
He wasn't mad at us, was he?
No, not at all. Okay. He goes, yeah, we wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have done that.
We wouldn't have taken it on?
No, not that. Not the way that you did it.
Oh, really?
Like, given all these different things and then gave it to them, hoping that the editor would be able to put it all together.
Yeah.
And so it was very, very impressed.
Oh, I think they believed it, too.
Yeah, but there is an aspect of it that these aren't just, you know, they're not your average person's blog. Like, it's not like a blog post.
No.
You've written articles.
Yeah.
And you happen to have a couple degrees. Well, so, I mean.
It's not my own cut and paste blog post.
It's not like me where I took a bunch of my emails. You've seen my emails. Yeah. And I made a book out of my emails. It wasn't.
I think they were surprised also that what the topics I had, like I knew in my heart and also from having written it for years that the outline I gave, I actually had that content. Mm-hmm. So they didn't know that because I sent them 60 articles. So they didn't know, wait a minute, they saw my outline, my book outline. Mm-hmm. They had no idea that would actually pair up to this content.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, wait, is she guessing that this is going to pair up? Like, how does she know this is going to pair up? And that was the beauty of this editor. She's like, oh yeah, I can fit this. And she just literally just put them each in each of these sections. And I was like, right on. You figured it out. You did the jigsaw. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
So it's Living Fearless for the Kingdom. That's our working title as of now, but it's self, like, you know, your personal victory, family, society, politics, religion. So self, family, religion, society, politics.
Fantastic. Yeah, we spent the whole hour talking about it.
Whoops.
Yeah. But we talk about launches and then some other stuff, and you know.
I want you to keep brainstorming every couple of weeks about my launch and the cover.
Yeah,
your whole group to be discussing
that. I was bringing up topics, and then Malia, who is the assistant to my colleague, my partner in this business, said, "Andy, have you never published a book before?" I was asking questions, like she knew I knew the answers.
Uh-huh.
But I was bringing up topics for the group. My job is to bring up topics for the group.
Okay.
But in doing that, there were a few new nuggets that came out of the discussion. Like the one I really like, and we'll see if the audience likes this, is that the publisher suggested, and you heard this too. No, well, there's that, but that's an old one too. But taking a press release and sending it to your high school.
Oh yeah, I think she is it the Facebook group or to my
to your high school, to your high school saying
like the office?
Yes, like to the principal.
Oh,
you're a graduate of Beverly Hills High, which I think about like Neff High School where I went. That would be huge. It'd be like a number one bestseller.
I'd be up there with four Academy Award winners and.
Beverly Pulitzer Hills High School.
Prize that's winners a, and
that's exactly.
Like, oh, she wrote a book. Woohoo! We're really excited.
Oh, and it's Christian.
Oh,
all right then.
Yeah.
I think that would be so fun to send that press release.
Well, we have a reunion committee, so we have our Beverly High reunion committee, which is thousands of people.
Yeah.
So they would put it out in the newsletter for sure.
See?
For me. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. What about USC? UCLA.
I'm part of the USC Alumni Association, so the law school would for sure do that too.
Oh, see,
UCLA I don't have much of a connection to, but I'm sure it wouldn't be difficult.
Oh. Let's see what else. What about the head off the home off, the seventh floor of the FBI?
Maybe. Since I'm so complimentary to them right now.
Yeah, so that would be fun.
Yeah,
I have to send it to them. What is it that do you think that you'll be able to do once it's published? Do you plan on going out into the speaking world and visiting churches all over? Like, what if you sent a press release to Joel Osteen and he invited you to speak at his congregation? Would you do that?
I think I would hide under a table.
No, so really?
That ginormous church. Oh my God, are you kidding?
It's no different than pastoring, just standing up in front of the audience.
I spoke in front of NORAD. So the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, McMullen, invited me, and it was an impressive room. That was probably the most impressive room I've ever spoke at.
Yeah.
So I think I can handle a room with church folk in it.
It would be hard for me to not keep focusing on those big teeth.
I think we should shoot a little lower.
Now why? That was one of the things that we talked about sending it to Joel Osteen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a huge fan, but why not?
Right.
What about Pastor Furtick? Would you love to go speak in front of his audience?
At Furtick's, I would, yes.
Yeah.
Elevation, I would. I will definitely send him a copy.
Yeah.
Because I have the paradox of the celebrity pastor in there. And so I criticize him.
Mark Driscoll, of course. I think you have to send it there. And say we're huge fans.
Yes.
And we've been to your church.
Are we totally off topic right now? Are we just having our own like fireside chat right now? Sorry, folks.
Sorry about that.
I got excited about my book. So Brian has fixed the verses.
Okay,
John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it had hated me before it hated you.
Right.
Amen. And then 15:19. If you were of the world would love its own.
but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world because this world hates you. Those are life verses right now.
That is my, that one right there is, yeah, is what's happening right now.
You should put on a t-shirt and give it to Ray.
Yeah, I'm not going to respond to her. I responded already and said, listen, I know and I'm sorry this is happening to you. And that's when she sent me the part that I just sent you or read out loud. But I think I'm just going to wait till tomorrow and give it some thought of how I want to respond.
Yeah, you should.
Pray about it. Think about it.
Yeah. You know, because I mean, she's a cheerleader and all these things, and she's having these other issues with friends and stuff like that. I just wish they would have left her alone, but not.
That fire may be being stoked right now. So
yeah, yeah. I'm not getting any help on the other home front.
No.
Kelly's excited for the book.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate that. Prayers would be much appreciated.
Folks. Yes.
It's always whenever you try to get something out, the world starts to fall apart. So just praying for peace and courage.
You were talking about a topic at dinner. Did you want to, dive into that?
Which
at all,
one? I talked about so many.
About your podcast that you listen to, the couple.
The Perrys. I talked about Eric Mason, the Urban Apologetics, but what I loved about it, so the Perrys is, I never remember her husband's name, but it's Jackie Perry, gay girl, good God. So she used to be in a same-sex lifestyle, but was radically transformed by Christ, now married with, I don't know, 3-4 kids. But she's Reformed theology, very conservative, outspoken preacher of the gospel, really awesome. I just really love her. And they do a podcast, her and her husband, and they had on Dr. Eric Mason, who wrote a book called Urban Apologetics. And there's something to be said about the Black community being able to look critically at itself, because honestly, if a white preacher, pastor said, oh my God, what is it with these Black preachers and their tennis shoes? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It would sound so horribly racist. But he was commenting, he was explaining to them, he's like, this neo-prosperity gospel we have right now is turning young Black church members, male and female, into like groupies, idolizing these pastors who have these like dramatic entries into the church. They're wearing like fancy Balenciaga tennis shoes. It's like Louis Vuitton tennis shoes with expensive clothes and Gucci sunglasses and a Gucci belt. And they're like peace signing their audience, high-fiving them. And they're like, they've turned into like rap artists, mm-hmm. you know? And he says that instead of the focus being on holiness and repentance and the full counsel of God and preaching fire, and deliverance and the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, it's about image. It's about what can you achieve? Look at me, follow Jesus, and you could be like me. And he was super critical of that. And it was just really awesome to hear him articulate it in a very, not only a smart way, but a respectful way. And from somebody within the community, I felt he had the credibility and the integrity to make those kind of comments about what he sees happening. And it was just a really cool conversation. So,
and that it reminds me of the contrast, I guess, of Francis Chan, who we listened to last night when we couldn't
just
sleep.
Crying.
Who was just crying about the awesomeness of God.
Yes.
And everything is Jesus. It's such a difference,
isn't it?
When you described how the video shows the pastor coming out of the car, the limousine, basically, with those expensive shoes. What do you call them again? Balenciagas?
Balenciaga.
Balenciaga. Oh, that's the
Killers.
Yeah, the baby killers.
Yeah,
they're wearing baby killer shoes.
Yeah,
these pastors.
Yes.
Wow. What a contrast.
What a contrast.
Oh my gosh. Here's Francis Chan just saying,
thrift clothes. Yeah, it's thrift shop clothes.
Rides his bicycle. Really rides his bicycle. Not like the
very, very
transportation
different.
Secretary. Wow. Yeah. Wait, this is some.
But and so he was saying times. That, like, in times, you know, as we approach as we're in the last days, and the Book of Revelation comes to life, and the Lord is basically sifting out His remnant. He says to the church, "I will take your lampstands." In other words, he says that the Lord had told them that you will see churches start to close, and people may grieve. Oh no, churches are closing. He's like, but it's false. It's all of this false doctrine that has been propagated, all of these false teachers that have been propagated. And he's like, and people will start to fall away. Mm-hmm. And I see what we're going through here is just another evidence of that, is that holding religion will be like holding burning coal. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be easy. Kelly says, yes, when I was growing up, there was a prosperity gospel called Name It and Claim It, and it always turned me off. Yeah, so now what they're describing is it's a version of that. And so they call it the neo-prosperity gospel because it's a little bit self-helpy. And it's also about, it's very person-centric. It's got a lot of humanism. That's the way he described it. It's got a lot of the cult ideology of humanism in it. That I can be all I can be, and I could be enough. And
when you hear something weird,
yeah, weird,
yeah,
yes.
I just realized why I said Peggy, French Church. Their executive secretary, her name's Peggy.
Oh, see that?
I dealt with her a lot.
I go,
why did I say Peggy? There's got to be a reason why I thought.
Because usually you're a couple letters off, like Rachel or something.
Yeah, not entire names.
Right.
But just realized why that.
That makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. So happy I figured that out and was able to share all of it with all of you, our millions of listeners and viewers. anything else, Schnooks?
No, I think we got it.
I think we got it too.
I think we covered a lot.
Do you think you can add sleep to the prayer tonight? Is it possible that I could,
for sure.
That you and I could get some sleep?
Not only, I mean, you are new friends. Remember our new friends? What were their names? The pastor.
Peggy and Robin.
Natalie and Dave Hess.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I was having a real problem with sleep, and he prayed this beautiful prayer of sleep over me. He's like, I impart to you sleep. You know, and he just kept praying that over me. He's like, I've never done this before. I don't know where it's coming from, but the Lord says, just pray it over you. And I'm like, I'm just praying sleep over you. Yeah. And it was so beautiful. I had the best night's sleep.
Yeah.
We've done that for Kate too.
My neck is killing me right now. Is it? I feel like I've been in a traffic accident.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe that's what's causing it.
It's causing the heart palpitations?
I didn't want to talk about that.
Oh,
but just the tension, the tension that I feel. I think it's in my neck.
Do we have Tiger Balm?
Tiger Balm.
You know that like Biofreeze kind of stuff, but there's the Chinese
I've had some,
in that, right?
But I don't think I think I threw it away.
Oh, okay.
I think in the purging of my old house that you made me do.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for it to be my fault. My fault.
Bring the trash can.
The Falcos are very attached to all their old stuff.
We love our old stuff.
My God.
Our comfy blankets.
Oh, the smelly, stinky blankets.
Yes. Smells like home.
Oh, it smells like old Pete. Dirty socks. Oh my goodness, I smelled the towels just now and I was like
I was listening to just before Steve
Crowder?
No, Steve Bannon. Before Steve Bannon comes on, there's this the morning show. Have you ever seen those?
Mm-mm.
There's two ladies and a dude. And they're all chipper and happy and that kind of stuff. And they're signing off. And then Steve comes on. If they only had a conscience. And then, so they're talking, and the one lady, who's a doctor, She's, well, at least she has doctor in front of her name. Who knows if she's a doctor? I mean,
not like, a medical doctor.
Yeah, Dr. Jill's not. If she was a doctor, she wouldn't have, you know, the old man there in the White House. But she says, she goes, I have a pillow from my, I believe it's her grandfather, or it could be in her father, that he used when he was in World War II.
Yikes.
And she still has the pillow that she keeps around. And I, that's the first thing I thought. I go, what could that possibly smell like?
Oh. That,
and she says that like this little tiny pillow.
Yikes. Oh, you should see this podcast with the Perrys. Uh-huh. She's got her feet, her bare feet on his lap.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I was like, I wonder how, if her feet smell good. And I was like, yeah. I was totally distracted by that. I don't know if I can watch a podcast with somebody's feet in the screen.
I like it when you put your feet on me.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Well, he seemed to like it too. Yeah. Preston is his name.
Yeah. Do you guys have any old things that have around that you just can't get rid of and they're a little ratty? I think somebody else was telling on another show where they were talking about this. It's just threads from a blanket that used to be the comfort blanket that the kid had when they were a baby.
Wow.
That the kid's now like 13 or 14 or something like that. And now it's just the strings from the blanket. That's how often that's.
Well, and I mean, I get that if the kid still recognizes it, but I just wait. If nobody notices for a couple of weeks, I'll just start to throw them out.
Yeah.
You know, but then it's something like my daughter comes back and was like, where's my squishmallow? The yellow one, the banana. I'm like, what? What banana? I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't see no bananas.
I didn't see any bananas. Whoops. It was literally, I waited 6 months. I had a whole garbage bag full of squishmallows in the closet. I waited 6 months. And it was like 6 months and 2 weeks. She was like, where are all my squishmallows? Sorry. Gone with the wind.
All right. All right. Let's pray for some sleep. Or do we need them to pray for our sleep? Can we pray for sleep?
We can pray for sleep.
Okay. Pray for sleep.
The Lord is generous with all of his gifts.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship. Thank you for your church, Lord. We ask for piety. We ask for purity, for loyalty and courage to defend the gospel and to share the gospel with those who do not yet know you, Lord, but to stand in truth, Lord, that we shall never be ashamed of the gospel. It is a power unto salvation for all who hear it. And we want to be those who proclaim the gospel boldly, Lord. We know we're in perilous times, and we just ask for your strength and your courage to go forward. We ask for your protection, for your loving embrace of our families and our loved ones, that you would calm their spirits and speak to their hearts and souls and give them courage, Lord, because this is a fight that includes all of us. And we want from young to old to be covered with your heavenly armies of angels that will surround them and empower them, but also your peace that passes all understanding, Lord. And we know that you don't give as the world gives, but you give as the one and only, the God of Moses and Jacob. Lord, we ask for peace for Andy. We ask for a restful night's sleep. Sleep is a gift, Lord, and we ask for your rest. We ask for your Sabbath. We ask for that rest to come upon us. And we know you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the great physician. There is no illness for which you do not provide a cure, Lord. So whatever it is that is ailing him, we ask that you heal it and you restore him and that you provide him with that restful sleep, Lord. And for all of our friends that are suffering illnesses, Lord, we ask for a mighty healing. We ask for a restoration of their cells to purity and to wholeness. And for those that are suffering from financial provision, Lord, that you bless them with your heavenly provision. And you protect all of our families, Lord. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we expect, then we ask, and that we expect all things, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my friends. We love you guys.
God bless. Good night.
Good night.